Well, we're back. I'm back. This is 180. My name's Carl Claussen. I'm your host, and I'm not alone. Oh, my goodness. Not only do we have the presence of God with us here today, I've got a great, great friend and guest in studio with me, Dr. George Koch. We're walking through his great work, What We Believe and Why. You can get a copy at whatwebelieveandwhy.com. Today, we're getting into a topic that makes some run and others jump up and down. It's really true, isn't it? When we talk about heresy, George, it causes two visceral responses. Some just say, I don't want to have anything to do with it. And others say, bring it on. I like a good fight.
Yep.
Neither one of those are right, are they, George?
Well, they're not what heresy is about. It is valuable for us to debate what we believe. I think it helps both to strengthen our own belief and deepen it. And if we can do that in a way which builds each other up, which is willing to wrestle, then we both grow from it. And those things that I might have believed preciously and were important to me, where I was just plain wrong, I won't discover that unless I can wrestle it with someone else.
Watch your life and doctrine closely. The one thing interesting about this challenge is that, first off, we're more prone to watch our doctrine than our life. But you allude to the fact that we don't understand what doctrine is. Therefore, we jump on the heresy bandwagon a little bit too quickly.
Well, let's first make this very simple, plain observation that I think most folks have probably noticed, but I seldom hear this said out loud. And that is, when you get into a disagreement with someone in the church, particularly over belief or over doctrine, the way that you win is by accusing your opponent of heresy. We elevate everything to that level of attack in order to make our side seem more right and more important. We accuse our opponents of heresy.
You don't believe for a minute that that should be our first point of attack at all?
Not at all.
Okay, but Jesus himself looked at the Pharisees and called them children of Satan.
And?
All right. This is a great moment here. This is 180. My name's Carl Claussen, your host, and with me is Dr. George Koch, and we're mixing it up.
Sure, it was about behavior, not just about what they teach. It was about how they behaved. He said, you put these heavy burdens on others, won't even lift a little finger yourself. What his accusation almost universally against Pharisees was about hypocrisy, not about doctrine.
Interesting.
And in fact, just to press the point a little further and a little harder, heresy isn't about wrong doctrine.
Oh, now you got a pastor or two listening, yeah. So you better clarify.
Wrong doctrine is called heterodoxy. It means not to be orthodox. Heresy, from the Greek, actually means to choose a way, and the implication in it is that it causes division.
When we you're great with the original language. What can we learn about heresy from the original language, both Greek and Hebrew, since it all plays together?
Well, the Greek word for heresy doesn't mean something negative or wrong. It means an opinion or a way or a choice. In fact, there's an early Christian writer who talks about the heresy of the gospel. And what he's not saying is the gospel is mistaken, but rather this is the way of the gospel. That's the original underlying meaning of the word. And so the word heresy actually means, if I accuse someone of heresy, it means to cause division. Now, you can cause division with wrong doctrine.
But you can cause division with right doctrine.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. The way you wield right doctrine, which harms others, which divides the church, which drives people away, even if you're right about the doctrine, that's still heresy because you have caused division with right doctrine.
Okay, if I'm tracking with you right, my guest, Dr. George Koch, you're going, who is this heretic? If I'm tracking with you rightly, you're saying we throw around the word heretic and it's never used rightly in this modern day.
It's typically not used rightly in this modern day.
I like
used
the word typically.
It's sort of a broad synonym for heterodoxy. But that confuses the two issues. Heterodoxy is when you have your doctrine wrong. And that's an important issue, and it's one that we should pay attention to. But heresy really means to cause division in the body of Christ. And I can do that with my behavior. I can do that with my doctrine, whether it's right or wrong. I can do it with the way I accuse others. Rather than trying to find the truth of the gospel, to just go after someone else with venom. And I've got to say, I am so saddened isn't the right word. It's worse than that. I'm grieved by the way Christians debate doctrine.
If you think I've been focused recently on the letters to the churches that Jesus spoke to John at the island of Patmos, if you think about his charge to them, on at least three or four occasions, they were living so abhorrently that on occasion that they didn't even recognize, they weren't even recognizable as the church. Therefore, he said, your lamp stands about to be snatched, but yet he was still merciful,
right?
Said, repent, turn around.
Right.
We don't even have that tolerance for the guy next door.
We don't. The level of venom and condescension is just extraordinary to me. It's sin. There's no excuse for it. It's one thing to defend doctrine well, and another thing entirely to harm a person by accusation, by bitter words, by angry words, by hurtful words. That's sinful.
This is good. Well, we're going to get into some heterodoxies here in a second. But I think it bears hanging on here because, in fact, I'm going to put a comma here before we start listing modalism and Arianism and Docetism and all these things. We're going to hang on here because I think we need to just let this marinate over us. And that is that we can have strong differences on significant theological points. Now, there's some that are deal breakers, correct?
There are.
The Trinity.
The
deity of Jesus Christ, for instance. I mean, there's some deal breakers out there.
And there is a distinction that we need to make also between which issues are salvation issues and which issues are sanctification.
Yeah. And if they're not salvific in nature, it's going to thin the list down considerably.
It is. It doesn't mean they're not important. It doesn't even mean they're not critical to life in Christ. But they may not be salvation issues.
That's really good. Okay, we're gonna jump out of the weeds here. But I'm giving you 30 seconds to speak to the person that has been in a culture where they throw around the word heresy, or they themselves have done it. Speak to them.
Well, the first thing to realize is that more people are saved through love than through argument, and even more through love than through bitter accusation and condemnation. You do not get into the kingdom that way. You get into the kingdom by the way that you are loved, treated, and cared for, by that glass of cold water,
yeah,
not by harmful words.
Preach the word with great patience and instruction.
Absolutely.
Yeah, really good. Okay, this is too much stinking fun. You want to get involved? Do it. Go to whatwebelieveandwhy.com, get a copy of this book. George, thank you.
Carl, thank you.
180.